very much, David. About 12 months ago, or beginning of last year, actually, I was given the opportunity to travel down to Tasmania and work with the dairy research team down there. One of my tasks at the outset was to try and rejuvenate dairy producer interest in the sort of research that was going on at their dairy research facility. And as I was mulling over that famous term I mentioned many times this morning, the value proposition for producers, David Swain and Greg Bishop Hurley turned up and they said, we've got these wonderful little devices we've been playing around with in rather extensive areas in the north of Australia. We've been looking at issues like defining cow-calf relationships and defining bull-to-cow relationships in beef situations. I wonder if these sort of devices would work in a highly intensive dairy situation where you might have several hundred cows crammed into 1 hectare of some of the most beautiful grass you've seen in your life down there. So they actually very generously offered us the opportunity to play around with these devices. What is a proximity logger? It's the device in the middle there. It's a simple collar. It's the animal that started. Turn it here and all the action is happening. It's quite light one big box here. What the logger does is it transmits and looks for other loggers, so other collars, other animals. And when an animal comes to within 4 metres or comes within that radius of 4 metres or proximity to another animal, that little collar, records that animal's number, and it makes a record every second. And it logs the beginning of the interaction and the end of the interaction. So over time chunks, you can actually sum up the amount of time that it's spent with other herd mates. So we also had a little play around with the GPS collar on the right as a general positioning motor. And that developed another very simple but with one value proposition. Producers just love watching their cattle on television. I actually set this whole scheme up really as an interaction opportunity, so we could use some of these devices to provide data on more complex questions that I was specifically involved with. So it was a lead-in, and it actually worked very well. As I said, these collars, the proximity logs in the middle, collect information from animals coming close to other animals. And the information has to be downloaded, so you actually have to physically take it off the animal, plug it in the computer, and spend time downloading it. So at the moment, it's not practical for the detection of certain things like easels. But it's not far off, and I'll come back to that later on in the talk, and indeed, it'll be mentioned later in the afternoon. At the moment, the GPS collars send signals to what's known as part of the police system. Gateway that plugged into the computer in the central office position, and that funnels it into the internet and onto the television screen, and you can watch your animals from anywhere in the world. So there's a generalised information capture system. It could be capturing soil moisture information, for example, all sorts of information that are important to running at the farm effectively. And hopefully, it won't be long before these proximity loggers are collecting information in real time and giving it to. So what did we do with these devices? We set them up on cows. Here's some cows on the television screen. We've got GPS collars on them, and so you can actually see the cows here. A few red cows here, which means the GPS has dropped out, and that's a common challenge with this sort of technology. The proximity logs don't come up, of course, but this gives me an excuse to put a picture up on the screen to show you the lovely green pastures of Elliot as they automatically move away from us. Basically, we set the proximity collars up on 50 cows and managed them as a single herd, and the structure of that herd was representative of the larger 300-cow herd also running on the property. And we ran these collars for about a 90-day period through the general mating time of this season calving herd. So mating normally lasts for about 60 days. It's all AI. We put these collars on about a month before mating started to iron out any glitches I want to stress here that it was very much a pilot study. So it was a really, real psychedelic study. Get a feel for the devices, and the plan was then to organise some more complex experiments. We were still moving towards that phase. What we did was, and this is a graph of incidence of tail pain records, or this is a very simplistic way of monitoring heat, and that was the technique that was commercially used on this dairy research facility. So it's basically beginning of joining, you whack on a bit of tail paint to the rear end of the top of the tail of the cows, and if another cow mounts it, it rubs that tail paint off. So the cows are checked once a day. If the tail paint has been removed, the second time round, they'll artificially inseminate. Okay? No idea what this machine is moving. You can see from the dates here, we started in late September of last year. We moved right through to just before Christmas. This is the daily incidence of tail paint records. So this was our sort of commercial indicator of Easter's activity. And what we were trying to do was to take the information collected on the proximity lockers and try to see whether the pattern of information on the proximity lockers lined up with the tail paint information. Very importantly, just recognise that the tail paint technique in itself is not a perfect technique for monitoring estrus. It's not a gold standard. We really do need a gold standard for further experimentation. So take that with a grain of salt. But it was a great, easy, cheap way to start to get a feel for the technology. So you can see there was a good incidence, nicely distributed incidence of potential estruses. And now we jump into the fun part. I really didn't know what I was setting myself in for, but gee, with data and data and more data, one of the biggest challenges in this remote sensing area. So I haven't got as far as I'd like with the data set, and I'm looking at postgraduates who are prepared to get in with far more elaborate mathematical skills than I have, and do something further with the data set. To give you an indication of the information, or the magnitude of the information, here's just a minute data capture snapshot from one collar 19 on a cow. So on the left you've got numerically in order record IDs, and then you've got encounter IDs. And these are numbers of other cows that came into proximity with this particular cow. Someone can slide show automatic button here. To speak faster. These encounter numbers relate to the other collars that came into proximity with it. And it gives you the date and it gives you the time. And you can see this is 0.52. So that's 52 minutes past midnight. And one of the beauties of remote sensing technology, it just keeps on working around the clock. And these are the encounter lengths on the right-hand column, are the amount of time that was spent that particular cows that comes into contact, out of contact, that's how automatic move forward again. And here's an example of the complexity of the data. Dates on the bottom from the beginning of the trial to the end, about a 90-day period. Up on the side axis, we've got sum of proximity spent, and each of these lines indicate another animal that's interacted with this animal, colour 19. Throwing my talk out a little bit because I'm trying to hold you in suspense. It's just popping things up for me. look, there's a lot of data hidden behind these lines, but what I tried to do was come up with an algorithm of sorting through all that noise to try and identify potential estruses. And you can see there's enormous differences as you go across that graph in the height of those lines. So sum of duration spent. This is duration sum over discrete six-hour periods during the course of the day. And there's only 3 6-hour periods. So what I did was I blocked out the time that they were actually being mustered, taken to the dairy, and then walking back to the paddock. So the first 6-hour time slot was from midnight to 6 a.m. in the morning. Then they were milked. The second 6-hour time slot was while they were in the paddock between the morning and afternoon milkings. And the third 6-hour time slot was after. The third was after the afternoon milking. Okay, so I was hoping that we could just scan across that and pick out the really high lines and say these are potential peaks. This is when this cow had a particularly long friendship with some other cow that didn't last too long. And when animals are in imagination of stable spends anywhere from 6 to 18 hours hanging around with other cows that are at a similar stage of their reasonable cycle, just about ready to ovulate and ovulate. So that's what we're looking for. We're trying to match up these peaks with tailbone records. Come up in a minute, hopefully. So this particular cow had 3 tailbone removal records, and that's the timing of them. And you can see that 1, 2, 3, they interrelated, these high lines, these peaks. But you can also see that there are many other peaks that are almost as high that weren't related to tailbones. Now, I told you, tailbones are an imperfect technique themselves. And so, go back again. Some of those peaks could actually have been true estuses. You can sort of try and apply a 21-day rule. That's the time between ovulation and the dairy cow. You get a bit of a feel for whether they were these estuses. And what we're going to do, as soon as the actual calving date becomes available over the next few months, is work back in retrospect and say, this cow is calved on this day, take 283 days, gestation length away from that date, and have a look for proximity logger activity and tailbone records on that day and see which is giving us a better indicator of what's going on. What we will also do is come up with a far better gold standard of estrus, which will probably be the monitoring of the progesterone concentrations, which drop off as men come into estrus, and move on with that sort of thing. So as I say, this is very much a pilot study. The fun part is searching through all of this complex data and coming up with a simplistic algorithm that can sort through quickly and predict animals that have a proximity logger record that has a high likelihood of indicating peak. And the algorithm I came up with after much dredging and still plenty of opportunity for better algorithms is a rule that, and here we've got collar 214 highlighted, a rule that if an animal is particularly friendly with another animal for 2 consecutive 6-hour periods, we'll class that potential proximity logger. So that's an example of having dollars in 1-4, and for 2 6-hour periods, it spent nearly 1,800 seconds with collar 19. Yeah, with collar 19 on. So I then extended that algorithm to see how low that time threshold I needed to get away with to get good records. And we set 3 thresholds. On the left-hand side there, we have a threshold of 15 minutes. So a cow had to spend time with another cow for at least 15 minutes to have that record recorded as a potential proximity logger recorded to 30 minutes and 45. And here's the information. On average for all the cows, there were 2.4 records of tailbone indicated teeth. Now the problem was, throughout, there were a lot of what we call false positives. On average, there are 11.4 proximity logger indicated heats when there are only 2.4 tailbone indicated heats. If you want to talk in terms of detection rate, we were able to pick up 74% of these tailbone records, the proximity logger, but there's a huge error rate, 77%. Okay, so still not good enough as a technique, but enough to get us interested in keep trying. As we increased the threshold, made the rules harder, we reduced our detection rate substantially, but we also reduced our error rate, of course. Okay. Now, one aspect with these sorts of tools is each animal is an individual, and some of them will interrelate with other animals normally more because they're a more social animal. So the other perspective I looked at was the possibility of personalising or threshold rules for each animal. And to give you a crude indication of how that can improve things, I varied the threshold value for each animal and came up with a detection rate approaching 70%, which is in the order of the detection rates of other similar remote sensing devices that are out there, like these motion detection sensors or pedometers that are being commercially used now. The error rate, of course, was still high. So considerations to finish off the talk. We're still in the early days of algorithm development. There's potential for improving that dramatically. We need a better gold standard in the tail pan technique to compare our proximity logger data to. And we really look forward with great excitement to move towards real-time green data. And to conclude, proximity loggers do show promise as a means of protecting estuaries, but further refinement is required before we can move towards commercial application. And I would just like to acknowledge at the end here that this work was funded and some terrific trips down to Tasmania and an introduction to Tasmanian food and almost trout fishing as well. It was paid for by Dairy Tasmania, so thank you.